seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Isaiah chapter 53 and the first part of verse 3. Isaiah chapter 53 and the first part of verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53 and the first part of verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is a most sacred and profound chapter that our text is found in this evening. How wonderfully the Holy Spirit revealed to the dear prophet Isaiah the path that the Saviour would tread when he descended from heaven and came into this earth. And not only that, but to really throughout this sacred chapter, there is the experience in some measure of every true born child of God. Because the dear Redeemer has gone before each one of his dear people, and the path that he trod, they will have to in measure tread the same. And it's only when we are led into these paths that we shall know and what it is to value the words of Isaiah 53. I think of a dear man some years ago, and he walked a path of where he was much despised, and the Holy Spirit led him into Isaiah 53, into our text particularly. And how he was able to view in it all what he was walking in, that this was the path that his dear Redeemer trod, how he was despised. And you know, really, this is the sweet answer, an antidote to the things the Lord's people have to walk in, really, isn't it? And what I mean is this. You see, it's the path the Saviour trod, and we shall have to follow in those sacred paths. The flesh won't like it, but in it is so much of the teaching of the blessed Holy Spirit. Oh, to be led to view. May the Holy Spirit bring us there a little tonight. How he was despised. There may be one here that feels despised tonight, but you think of the dear Redeemer. He was despised by his own national people. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And then how despised he was, even from his very birth. You think of Herod, how he despised him as soon as he heard that Christ, the King of Kings, was born. And how he rejected him. But then he was despised by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the rulers of the nations. And he is despised by his own dear people. think of the days of our unregeneracy, when we despised his holy name. But oh, what a mercy, when we have to walk the path now of being despised, to have a little view of him. He is despised and rejected of men. And we think of this despised path that, and really this is known by the child of God in a far different way than it is by a professor of religion. They may be despised, but you know, the child of God knows what it is for their own deceitful heart to despise him. And the path that he leads them in and the way he leads them. Because left to ourselves, there's that old nature that would despise his very name. But the new man of grace loves his blessed name. And will be brought to love the path that they are called to walk, because in it is divine teaching, in it is the establishment of the sinner in the truth, as it is in Jesus. And when we are despised, and then have a view of how he was, you're about to say with the hymn writer, his way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? He is despised and rejected of men. And you think, from the very moment of his birth, how rejected he was. And even by those that you would have thought that would have loved him and adored him, but they despised him and rejected him. And go back to what I said concerning Herod. You think how he so rejected the precious Son of God. And how the Pharisees did, didn't they? And we see in this solemn dark day, where the Christian church is being so persecuted and oppressed in many ways, even the sacred word of God is being rejected by the courts of the nation, by many of our rulers. They reject his holy name. And I think how solemn for such characters when they come to the end, because they'll be rejected of God unless the Lord brings, and so will we, unless the Lord brings us to humble repentance before him. But really what led me to this word was the last clause really, but I just want to, before we come to it, look at the next clause to what we've looked at. A man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. And then he says, and acquainted with grief. And it was that that really arrested me in thinking of the service this evening. And acquainted with grief. But a man of sorrows. he knew when he left the realms of glory and of heaven to come into this earth, he was going to be a path of sorrow, a path of suffering, that he would endure all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. And think of the dear disciples when he told them he was going to leave them. Oh, sorrow filled their hearts. You know, really, the path to heaven is for much of the way a path of sorrow, but it won't be all sorrow. You think of what Christ said to those dear sorrowing disciples, and you may have things to make you sorrow tonight. And what did he say to them? Ye now therefore have sorrow. It was true, they were in it. It was fact, they were walking in it. Oh, the sorrow that filled their hearts. And no man could help them in that sorrow. It was only the Lord that could turn that sorrow into joy. And the Lord knows why you sorrow tonight. It may be because of your sin. Oh, the sorrows there are in the hearts of those that truly feel the sin and guilt within. And then it may be because of the trials you're walking through. And it causes you so much sorrow. You therefore have sorrow. But then it may be that the sorrow is because the Lord has withdrawn from you. He hides his face. The psalmist knew it, didn't he, when he said, thou hidest thy face, and I am troubled. And he was in sorrow. Think of Psalm 22, that beautiful psalm concerning the dear Lord Jesus. What did he say? I am a worm and no man. He knew what it was to be brought down as a worm. And so were we in our sorrows. So often he brings sorrow upon us, you see, to make us seek more earnestly his face. You think of dear Hannah, I often think of that dear woman as she went up to the sanctuary, you know, as we come up week by week and Sabbath by Sabbath, she went up and she was full of sorrow. And what is so wonderful about her case, she brought all the sorrow that she was in with her to the house of God. Oh, she did. And the sorrow was not just one sorrow, the sorrow because the Lord was hiding his face from her. She was walking in a bitter, dark pathway and all the sorrow. And then, of course, her adversary that was provoking her caused her even more sorrow. And then, of course, the great sorrow she had no offspring. But, she took it to the right place, didn't she? You know, it's a wonderful thing when we can take our sorrows, it may be, between just our own heart and the Lord. And you go up and you say, Lord, thou seest the sorrow there is within us. It's all inside. It may be hid from men. Often it reflects through in the countenance of a person. Some show it more than others. Some hide it. But she took it all with her to the house of God, you know. And what did she do? She spread it all before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid as a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my grief and complaint have I made my request known unto God. You see, Eli was sinking her lower, wasn't he? Completely misjudged her. He was despising her. She was walking the path the Saviour trod. But you look how, like with the disciples, the Lord was to turn the sorrow that she was in into joy. Oh, she was to sweetly experience it. And the Lord can do it today, can't he? Oh, he can. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And you know, when the Lord says he will see you again, he will, poor soul. Not when you think best, but when he thinks best. And when the time comes, oh, the joy that fill your soul. Think of the joy there was in the hearts of the dear disciples on that resurrection morn. All the sorrow that had been like mountains were to be all flowing down before him. A man of sorrows. And though this speaks, and the Holy Spirit wonderfully set it forth concerning the dear Saviour, it can be said concerning some of the Lord's dear children in 2017, they're men and women of sorrow. But the Lord sees that sorrow you're in. He saw it with Hannah. And there are many others in the Word of God, aren't there? That were men. Think of Jeremiah. Oh, the weeping prophet. If ever a man walked through sorrow, the dear man did. And then think of Job, the sorrows that he endured. You see, we must know. The flesh doesn't like it though. We must know the sorrow to know the joy. Many of the easy believing people say, oh, but you should be joyful in the Lord, as though the sinner has some power to raise themselves up to it. You know, the Lord will bring his dear children into sorrow that they might truly value the joy. Oh yes. You see, it's coming into that sorrow and walking through it that the sinner will deeply appreciate in their souls the joy. It's like the hymn writer said, and joy succeeds the night. And you know what joy there is at the appearing of the Lord. What joy there is when you have a sweet sense of blood-bought pardon in your soul. What joy there is when you can feel the Saviour near. And what joy there is when he speaks to your soul. Oh, the joy. He says here, a man of sorrow. A man of sorrows. You may say, well, we didn't come tonight to enter into a time of sorrow. But, poor soul, the Lord measures that sorrow out to his dear people. What do we sing in the hymn? Our sorrows in the scale he weighs and measures out our pain. It's a wonderful thing, that is. A beautiful couplet, that hymn, isn't it? Our sorrows in the scale he weighs. They're all weighed. laid out in measure. You know, the Lord will not bring upon any one of his dear children more sorrow than they can bear. They may come to their wits' end from time to time in it, like they did in the 107th Psalm. But it's all in the hands of their God, and he can turn that sorrow in a moment into joy. So he says, but I will see you again. And then listen, and your heart, you may say, well, in all this sorrow shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. No man shall take it. And they cannot. Oh, the joy. Think of the resurrection morn, as I hinted just now, what a beautiful joy there was in the hearts of those dear disciples and in the sorrowing women, wasn't it? They couldn't contain the joy. And nor were your poor soul. You know, I long to see many like there were in days past. If you read through the history of the Church of God, how so many came into bitter paths of sorrow. But look at the joy that came out of it all. And the Lord was to bring it about. Oh, he was. Like he did with Hannah, like he did with Hezekiah, like he did with Mary Magdalene. And the Lord can do it today. May he strengthen our faith to believe that those of you that are walking in this sorrow, the hour's going to come when you will see the joy. And you'll sweetly experience the joy. And it'll all be known in your heart. A man of sorrows. You may feel while you're in that sorrow that this is a hard path to walk, but you think of the dear Redeemer, the sorrows he bore. We often sorrow because we're sinners, and we daily sin, we daily have much to mourn over, but he knew no sin. He bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare, to bring sinners out of their sorrow into joy. And oh, you think of the sorrows he endured in the Garden of Gethsemane, the sorrows he endured upon Calvary's cross. Oh, the weeping of the precious Son of God. And you know, to have a little glimpse, and what will be the effect of it? I hope I can speak this a little from experience. What will be the experience when you have a glimpse, when you're in the depths of sorrow, of the sorrows he endured? Well, if I know anything of it at all, it'll make your sorrows and mine flow away into insignificance. Because so great were his sorrows. They can never be measured. As he bore the wrath of God and endured all the agonies and sufferings for his dear people to grant them joy. But I want to come to this last clause. Much could be said on each clause of this text. And acquainted with grief. What really led me to this, I was thinking about the path that we were walking in and the things that concern us and exercise us. And many of God's dear people. But what seems such a comfort to me, the Lord is acquainted with all that each one has to walk in. Oh yes. He knows it all. Before before you come into the sorrow, before you come into the grief, before you come into the darkness, before you come into the affliction, before you come into trials. He knows, he's well acquainted with every one of his dear children, of what griefs they're in. You may feel sometimes that you're sinking to despair in grief. But you see, poor soul, he's acquainted with it all. He knows exactly. We were singing the hymn, don't we? He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. Well, we read, and you may have wondered why we read in Hebrews together, that fourth chapter. There's that beautiful word in it, and may it be of comfort to us tonight. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, you think of that tonight. In your poor soul, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's well acquainted with your grief and mine, your sorrow, your situation, your sins that trouble you. He's well acquainted with it, isn't he? He says here in our text, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But one thinks of what the psalmist said. If you read in Psalm 139, the dear psalmist, it's a beautiful psalm that is. O Lord, thou hast searched me. And it is a searching path when we are despised, when we're rejected, when we're in sorrow, when we're in grief. It's a searching path. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. And then this sacred word, which dovetails with our text, and art acquainted with all my ways. And the dear psalmist could sweetly feel that the Lord was acquainted with all his ways. Oh, he was. And just as the dear Redeemer and acquainted with grief, so well can he sympathise with you, poor soul. Because he's been that. If you want sympathy, naturally, or receive sympathy, and some of the Lord's people are very sympathetic, you know, it usually comes from those that have walked in that path that you're walking in, because they know it. And what is sweet in this tonight is the Lord, whatever you may be in, is well acquainted with all your ways. And acquainted with all your grief. You don't have to tell him. He knows it. And yet you have to plead with him to appear for you in it, don't you? And there may be those burdens you have tonight and concerns. And you may think, well, this one knows nothing of it and that one knows nothing of what I'm in. But the Lord's acquainted with it. He knows. Before you even enter into it. And he knows what the issue will be. You think of the sorrow and grief that dear old Jacob walked through concerning Joseph. No man could describe the agonies that he must have gone through. Firstly, knowing not whether Joseph was still alive, he'd heard the word of the brethren. He'd seen the blood-stained coat. They completely deceived him. And as the years went on, the grief the dear man had, and then the famine that came, and the anguish, and then when they kept Simeon down in Egypt, and then they came to take away Benjamin. Well could the dear man say, all these things are against me. And that's just how he felt. But you see, the Lord was acquainted with it all. He knew Joseph was down in Egypt, yet alive, and was governor of all Egypt. Oh, the purposes of heaven were to be unfolded, weren't they? We sang on Lord's Day, that beautiful hymn, His purposes will ripen fast, unfold in every hour. The bud may have, well I go further, will have, a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Sweet will be the flower. You know, out of it, you look at a bud, especially this time of the year, where everything is bursting forth, we see no beauty in the bud, do we? As it comes forth, whether it's a flower or a tree or whatever it may be, there's no, the bud has a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And as that flower, look at it naturally, unfolds, the beauty there is in it, the wonder of it, the handiwork of God in it all. And think about it in our pathways and in our souls. And acquainted, may the Holy Spirit sweetly assure you tonight. I felt that sweet assurance of that when the word dropped in, acquainted with grief. He knows, you see, exactly how you feel. He knows exactly how low you come. And he knows exactly how to appear for you. And he knows exactly the hour of deliverance when it will come. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, here was the King of Kings and God of Heaven walking through this earth, despised, rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, so he can well sympathise with you, poor soul, whatever you may be in tonight. And when he brings you out into that wealthy place, the flower begins to shine forth, you'll be able to praise and bless his holy name and crown him Lord of all. Just as he did in the heart of dear Hannah. Oh, think of that beautiful song of her deliverance. She could truly praise his holy name, couldn't she? Think of the dear disciples after the resurrection. They could praise and bless his holy name, couldn't they? And crown him Lord of all. And it's a wonderful experience. But, think of that, acquainted with grief. And he understands exactly the feelings of each of his dear children. They're part of him, you see. And when, looking at it naturally, if we have pain in one of the small members of our body, which the fingers or the toes, the head feels the pain. And think about it spiritually. Christ, the head of the church, feels the pain when his dear children are in grief and in sorrow. And in these low places, he's acquainted well with what they're in. Well, may the Holy Spirit, I've just scratched around the surface of it this evening, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly assure us that he will see us again. He can turn that sorrow into joy. And may we have that faith to believe it.